Send a movie idea.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to The Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are very simple. We can discuss as many of your film ideas as we like, but only one can be taken through to the next stage, where the runaway box office success will be used to fund our insatiable appetite for private jets, taking us any distance that we need to travel over 250 meters. I'm Joel, a man who puts the heart into charter me a plane now. And across from me is John Harris, a man who actually finds private air travel a little bit modern and carbon friendly and prefers to ensure that every journey he takes is powered exclusively by coal and child labour. Hello, John.
Hello, mate. And it's a Zeppelin as well, just for the record.
It's a rare coal-powered, child-powered Zeppelin that you've had constructed. Not only is it John and I here, we are joined in the Dream Factory today for another very special episode with another very special guest by Hannah from the Shrine Podcast. Hello, Hannah. How are you?
Guys, thank you so much for inviting me to your Dream Factory.
Thanks for coming. Thanks for being here.
It's a magical place. I can't reveal.
It is pretty special. We don't like to reveal too much of what goes into it, but you very kindly joined us for sort of the 2 or 3 hours meditation that we have before each episode, and that was really special, actually.
Yeah, and then it's like a Wonka style like boat tour through the factory. Yeah, it's been a really interesting and exhausting day so far.
And well, Hannah asked what was happening behind those doors, and we told her just to ignore most of the screaming, it's all fine.
Now I've headphones on, I can't hear it anymore, so it's going really well.
Right, should we pitch a movie?
Yes, John, pitch a movie.
What about this one from Oscar? Ocean's 11, but they're all mermaids. I mean, the name's already there.
Guys, I was nervous about coming on this show, about like what, like would my movie knowledge be put to the test? Like, would I embarrass myself? Ocean's 11 is my favourite film.
Yes.
And I've only come to that conclusion recently, that it's like, I will never not watch it. And I just love everything about it. So the fact that this is what's been brought up, I'm thrilled.
So there's been a recent reappraisal or reappreciation for Ocean's 11, right? I think people have been, I've seen people talking about it a lot online. I don't know why that is.
Yeah, what is that about?
I think there was a viral tweet that was like, no movie should cost more than $85 million because $85 million is how much Ocean's 11 cost to make, which is a reasonable argument, I think, because you can that bought you that cast and produce that level of film, right? So I can see that that makes sense. And I also think there's definitely an element of people being a little bit fatigued with superhero films, and they're probably looking back to the period just before, as there were, when there were fewer superhero films, and saying, oh, these were the blockbuster films around then. Maybe it's better if we have Ocean's 11 style films coming out 3 times a year as opposed to Marvel stuff. So yeah, I'm into it. But what if that was all happening underwater? Is that what we're saying, John? I don't really know what you'd steal from. What sort of heist could you perform on the Titanic?
Well, there's no one protecting the Titanic, is there? They could just sort of go in and grab the jewels, or is there?
One of my favourite aspects of Ocean's 11 is that Brad Pitt's character is eating in every single scene. So that would be very important for me that that's recreated.
He's mostly eating food that would be disgusting underwater. Like it's lots of bread based and sort of pastry sort of food. And
in your opinion, John, what food would be delicious underwater?
Well,
I don't think you could maybe eat a grape.
Yeah,
it's quite difficult to eat underwater because you're going to ingest seawater at the same time.
Not candy floss.
Chocolate.
Absolute nightmare.
Because sometimes you get the salt, you know, the chocolate with a bit of salt. So if you've got the, you know, the sea salt's going to be sort of developing that chocolate even more.
Maybe a great biscuit that has been tested to, like, you know, with dunkability and that it's not going to completely dissolve.
Oh, but that's the ultimate dunking test, isn't it? To take it 200 meters below sea level. Yes. Okay. So they are Brad Pitt as a mermaid. We can all see it. I'm assuming we're just going classic mermaid. We're taking their top half human, bottom half fish.
I'm glad you brought up that question.
Yeah.
Because fish-headed people with human legs doing a heist on Earth would be quite funny.
And it's sort of a waste to have George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, and just replace them all with the heads of the same fish, I think.
Okay. Could the heist be on Earth? On the land? Heist, and it's mermaids.
The mermaids come to land, of course.
It's maybe a water-themed casino in Las Vegas. They must have a water-themed casino, right?
Oh, I really like the sound of that.
That's good. And the reason, the Brad Pitt's motivation for eating all the time could be because he's always been a mermaid. He's only ever eaten fish and shellfish. He comes to land and he discovers
chips,
the food of man, and chips, specifically chips. Yeah, he's had a lifetime of fish, but never the chip. And so he's just eating anything he can get his hands on. He's over the moon.
Yeah, and it's Ocean's 11. So Julia is in this one, but it's not. The second one is the weird one where they make her play herself twice, isn't it?
Yeah. So in Ocean's 11, in Ocean's 12, in our version, she would be a mermaid pretending to be a human, pretending to be a mermaid.
Yeah. I just wanted to clear it up.
She would have prosthetic legs over the fish.
Yeah.
But then a fake fish over the top of that.
Exactly.
And Bruce Willis would know her. That's what happens in Ocean's 12, right?
He would know her. He would be very suspicious about her fake tail.
So Bruce Willis in Ocean's 12 plays Bruce Willis, and Julia Roberts plays someone pretending to be Julia Roberts, and the scene is Bruce Willis recognizes her as Julia Roberts.
Exactly. So, and I think it is the sequel that maybe skewed people's opinion of the original, which is an absolutely excellent film.
I'm reading between the lines here, Hannah, but I was about to interrogate you on this because I remember when I first watched Ocean's 12 I found that quite annoying, but I was wondering whether my sort of appreciation for metatextual stuff wasn't quite there yet as a sort of early teen. But are we saying that's bad, the Julia Roberts thing?
It's bad, but now that we're stepped away from it was so long ago, it's kind of so ridiculous that I kind of love it now, and it's kind of a bit camp. And then we just went full like Fabergé egg then in the third one. So yeah.
Isn't the beauty of the second one that they spend 2 hours on this absolutely ridiculous quest across Europe? Like, there's a sequence of the most ridiculous heist. There's the bit where the guy dances through lasers, and then at the end they just swap the bags on a train. That's like that. That's the heist. It's like we get Julia Roberts to pretend to be Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
We steal the Fabergé egg. We're spending 2 hours. There's some like a whole other bit where they do a heist in Amsterdam that leads to nothing. And in the end, Matt Damon just buys the same rucksack as the guy and swaps it on a train. And that's how they do it. I think that's really funny. Yeah. I think that's a really great gag. Such a good punchline to the film.
I totally agree. And then I really think in the third one, they pulled it back. I thought that was another great one.
So what we're saying is greatest trilogy of all time, the Ocean's films.
100%. Great music. Incredible cast. Everybody looks amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Super entertaining.
I also really liked Ocean's 8. Does everyone remember Ocean's 8?
Yeah, I do.
I remember it.
Rihanna's in
it. I enjoyed it.
They went to the Met. Like, it's ticking so many boxes for me and I was so excited, but Sandra Bullock was Danny's sister. She did this really cool thing at the start where, and I actually think about it all the time, where she robbed a load of makeup, went up to the till in a department store, had an argument with the woman behind the till because she was trying to refund it without a receipt, and then was like, oh, just give me a bag, then I'll just keep it fine. And then fleeced everything that she picked up along the way. That's my favourite part of it.
Is that your favourite part? Because you think you could pull that off.
I fully could. I think I could pull it off. And I think it kind of crumbled after that. And it was just a bit too glam and not enough heist, but I still enjoyed it.
That feels like a radio texting question. What is the biggest crime in a movie that you think you could pull off?
Yes, that's a great question.
Yeah, it's a great question.
Yeah.
What's yours, John?
What's the biggest crime of all movies? What's the high?
I think I could do Oppenheimer.
Is that a crime? I don't think he is. It a crime?
It should have been, which I think is the moral of the story.
He goes. Yeah, there's a trial.
So the genre of handsome heist movies, as I've decided to coin it, there's not much of that going around. Do we think we need them back? Because the closest I can think is the Now You See Me films, which
We're a bit dodgy.
Also got magic. And they're less handsome. No offence to the, you know, to Danny Radcliffe and Woody Harrelson.
I think they are making a third one of those.
No, they're not.
Whether
that
we want
to be the new
not.
Greatest trilogy of all time.
But my opinion...
Oh, they have to really pull it out of the bag in the third one.
Yeah, the second one went off the wall. But my opinion on this is that it's all cyclical. So I think we're coming back around to rom-coms being in vogue. Thank you, Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell. So we just have to wait for the rom-com era to sort of run out of fuel. But I'll enjoy it at the same time. And then we might get our sort of heists back. Because they're very like Guy Ritchie, noughties, like British. And then you've got the American Ocean's 11 one. Yeah, we haven't had a good one in a while.
There you go. The campaign for a good box office smash heist film starts here. Would you like another film idea?
Yes, please.
This one's from Stu. The Chimney Sweeper. Jason Statham is a chimney sweep who is also a chimney sweep, a secret government organization who exists outside the law and deliver hard justice to those breaking pollution laws. So this is about the beekeeper.
Yes.
Where Jason Statham plays a beekeeper, but also a beekeeper.
Wink, wink.
Who are a secret government organization.
Yes.
Which one was he first?
He was a beekeeper, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And then he retired to become a beekeeper.
To become a beekeeper? Oh, that, come on, man.
How many units of like secret sort of, you know, operations are named after retirement activities? Like there should be like book club, gardening.
Jason Statham in Mr. Allotment. Yeah. So... pollution crimes, environmental crimes. Jason Statham's here to wipe them out. I'm picturing him very much in the Dick Van Dyke uniform.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a musical, I think.
Statham could absolutely do a musical.
Statham's got comedy chops, right? I think he could do musical theatre.
He is so funny. You know that film that he does with Melissa McCarthy called The Spy? Genuinely hilarious.
It's really good. It's really, really good. It's really funny. And I don't think anywhere near enough people have seen it.
I agree with you. And it needs a sequel because it was left on kind of a cliffhanger between those two characters.
It was. Yeah. I think I saw that at the cinema.
You're an OG.
I am an OG. I'll go and see anything Statham's in. Yeah. Statham's got great comedy chops. A musical would be absolutely perfect for the reinvention of Jason Statham. I think he's on the cusp. Oh, maybe he's gone already. He's gone the Liam Neeson route of this is his only genre now.
Yeah, right. And I just respect it so much. Lean in.
Yeah,
but I would like a more comedy from him or a musical. Interesting that I assume from Hannah's the speed with which she said yes, that there's just, you know, Dick Van Dyke is just sort of owns the concept of a chimney sweep in cinema, doesn't he? It wasn't like we were going to look anywhere past that, right? There's no other depictions of chimney sweeps.
There are no other chimneys. No, there aren't any other chimney sweeps in popular culture.
I had to get a chimney sweep to this house recently. And all I could think about was Dick Van Dyke, that accent, like a full street performance, like a flappy cap. So yeah.
And I had to get the roof reinforced ready for the tap sequence.
100%.
How Dick Van Dyke was your chimney sweep?
He was a big, giant Polish man. So it was It was
not ideal.
Not the same. Chimney? He didn't jump inside a map, but he did a great job of the chimney.
Did he have to get up it or down it?
It's a stove, but he swept it all out. And it's actually really important because if we turn that on, this is a house that we've just bought without having a chimney sweep. You can actually really blow the chimney off the place. So I didn't know just what an important job Dick Van Dyke was doing at the time.
Statham absolutely at some point in this film has to blow the chimney off a place for the record.
Well, that's pretty good. I mean, if there's a bad guy in the film, he could slowly over time sabotage their chimney to the point they need to hire a chimney sweep. And then he's in. You're in someone's house straight away.
It's very intimate, yeah. Mm.
Do you know the villains of The Beekeeper, Joel and Hannah? Are you aware of who the bad guys are?
No.
No.
So it's a scam call center. That's what he's going for. So...
And they must all be shut down.
They phone up Jason Statham to say, "Were you in a car crash? You were in a car crash recently." And he goes into full like, "I have a very particular set of skills," kind of mode.
They say, "We're calling from Microsoft support," and he just goes nuts. No, an old lady who's where his bee keeping place is. An old lady gets scammed, so he just goes to get ultimate revenge.
Wow.
So what's a sort of modern sort of gripe that Statham could be going
for? Do you know what happened? I was on holiday recently and I got a phone call from my bank and they said, "We've blocked your credit card because there's a purchase we don't recognize. Can you confirm?" You know, they run you through some recent purchases and they're all me. Yes. £10 in McDonald's.
Yeah,
yes.
The shame.
£10 in McDonald's. Yes. Yeah. £30 in McDonald's. Yes. I actually, as an aside to that, when I was at university, I was too nervous to take out a full overdraft. So I took out a small overdraft and spent it all very quickly. And then I phoned the bank and asked for more of an overdraft. And they said, what's it for? I said, for books and rent. And then the woman on the phone read out an itemized list of everything I spent overdraft on, and then just said, no, it was absolutely horrific. So anyway, I got a call from the bank while I was on holiday. Credit card blocked. Were these purchases all you? £10, £10, £15. $400 on Amazon.com in an attempt to buy a sewing machine.
Wow.
And then I got emails from Amazon saying, confirm purchase, $400 sewing machine. It's being delivered. And then it got cancelled and declined. Somebody hacked my Amazon account and thought, quick, we need to spend as much money as possible. Let's buy a sewing machine.
Get Jason, save them on the case. Mm.
Yeah, there you go.
It'll blow their chimneys right off.
I hadn't even heard of this film. So I'm just looking at the movie poster and it's Jason Statham, obviously, and he is dissolving into a swarm of bees.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's very despite cinematic. What that poster claims, he cannot transform into a swarm of bees because that would be
incredible. That'd be ideal.
That is what's being implied.
Just a swarm of call center. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Would you like
Jeremy Irons is in this film? Yeah, cool, and I would actually.
What about this one from Ula? Breaking Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty on the nose. It's Will Smith, drug overlord, right?
Yes. Or is it the Breaking Bad Boys and just an incredible soundtrack from Will Smith?
Hello.
Ah, Breaking Bad recut, but with Getting Jiggy With It, Miami, Nightmare on My Street.
And a brand new single.
Switch, 2005 Switch. We all remember that. yeah, okay. I'm into it. This is how we rehabilitate Will Smith.
Is that like the last song he did?
Well, the last big song he had. I reckon it might be Switch. Yeah.
Wow.
But
in a former life, Hannah, we used to do live shows, and I've seen John do a sound check for a live show by performing all of Wild Wild West.
Wow.
Yeah. Arguably, I'll be honest, better than anything that happened in the live show once people were actually in the room.
This is my one and only party trick, is that I know all the words of Wild Wild West.
John's party trick is he knows Wild Wild West. Yeah.
So soundtracked by Will Smith. Yeah, you know, like, there's weird, like, people do, like, recuts, don't they? Like, there's Topher Grace, the guy who was from That 70s Show and played Venom in Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire, has recut the original trilogy of Star Wars into one film. And it's only you can only just go to his house and watch it. Like, it's not a thing he's put out there.
Can we?
Yeah, you just send him an email. Open invite.
Wow. And that's kind of fun. Why? Because he thinks it should have been, or just for a thing to do?
I think when you've become that famous and rich, and if they're not sort, I think if you're Topher Grace, if you're That 70s Show famous, unless you're Ashton Kutcher, I think everyone just goes, it's That 70s Show guy. And so he probably wasn't getting cast in a lot of things. He thought, what should I do in my spare time?
Has he edited himself into it as a key character? Because that's what I would do with Topher Grace money. Serious vanity project.
Right. Should we move on to our own movie ideas, Joel?
Yes, John. Would you like my own movie idea from me?
Please.
Triangle of Sadness. It's I don't know. I can't work out whether it's about Derry Lee or the musical instrument A Triangle, but it just feels like a film title that's made for this podcast.
It also sounds like a segment on Sesame Street.
It does sound like a segment on Sesame Street. That's so true. One of the guys could ding the triangle when they're feeling sad. The rest of the street gather around in an attempt to cheer them up. It's quite a lonely pursuit playing the triangle as well. It's an instrument that's always the punchline, isn't it? If you're the untalented kid, you get to play the triangle.
Although I think I listened to a podcast this week that said Simon Cowell plays the triangle on like hit music released by people that he signed so he can get royalties for it.
God, that man's so evil. That is amazing. Imagine him he's just touring around the studios where Psycho are recording and making sure he hits every recording session with his triangle.
He's probably only done it once, and they just sample it.
It's genius.
Well, that's boring. That's really boring, John.
So, right. I think, maybe not Sesame Street. It's a Pixar film of an anthropomorphized triangle who is very sad because he is he's unloved in the big band. So you've got all of the instruments. They've got cute faces. They've all got sort of personalities based on their instrument and voices, sort of big, deep voice for the trombone, high pitch for the trumpets. And so there's something about, and the sort of the redemption at the end is that he is the hero of some sort of famous classical music piece.
It's good stuff. I mean, John, I'm more sort of focused on the Simon Cowell triangle thing. It's legit. He's done it on a Westlife song. I found what looks to be a 100-page PDF about songwriting royalties, which I will get stuck. I won't read. I'll read out some of it in the post credits bit, but not the entire thing. He's all over it. You're right. He's going around dinging his triangle to anyone that will listen.
Literally learned that fact this week, and I'm so glad I did. I think it's genius. I think it really represents his business mind. Yeah. And then it turned out to be the perfect anecdote for this movie suggestion.
First film, one of your favorite films of all time, Joel's film, references your favorite instrument of all time.
And here was me worried I wouldn't have enough knowledge of the industry to partake.
Well, I mean, we should have said at the time, Hannah, is that me and Joel don't know anything either. We just do this podcast because we've got nothing else to do, really. Right, let's do my idea. So my idea is, it's a Christmas one. I'm sorry. I know it's February, but it's a Christmas one. The Iron Claws. Santa takes up wrestling.
Very good. He would be a phenomenal wrestler. He needs something to do 11 months of the year.
I think it sounds great. Is it going to be one of that, like, is it following like Violent Night into this new genre of like, did you guys see that one with what's his face from Stranger Things, where he is Santa, but he is very violent and he will save the day? So is it going down that genre of like X-rated Christmas films?
I think so.
I think we can go X-rated. Yeah.
Well, so The Iron Claw is obviously like an A24 indie film. So is it, I think there has to be some real violence and some real gore and blood, but is it more, I think it's more depressing than Violent Night, which is more sort of fun. I think this is, because of AI and because of all the sort of computer made toys and everyone wants a Nintendo Switch for Christmas, Santa's effectively run out of business. His elves, they've got nothing to do. All they can do is make yo-yos and, you know, bouncy balls. To sort of make money to keep the North Pole running, he has to take up wrestling, and it's very bleak and depressing.
Okay. It speaks on like capitalism.
Yeah,
there's a really,
exactly.
Is it for,
you know, you have like
children?
No. This is an 18 rated movie. I think you know how they quite often hit each other with a chair. I'm imagining big candy cane.
Oh yeah,
I think that would be fun. That would break very satisfyingly over someone's head. You can bring him and the Grinch out during the Royal Rumble. I mean, switch on. It's a great idea.
There are types of wrestlers, and there's the big body type wrestler. Like, that exists. He's built to be a you know, sort of wrestler.
The big show into the big ho ho ho. Right.
There we go. That's how you know the episode's finished.
That's how you know the episode's finished. Hannah, if you had to pick a winner from today's choice cuts, today's film pitches, which would be your favourite?
Have to go Ocean's 11, guys. Underwater or on land with mermaids.
Perfect. Thanks so much for coming on, Hannah. That was so much fun.
Guys, thanks so much for having me. Actually, it was so much fun.
It was a pleasure. Well done, John. I thought you were quite good.
So did I.
I thought I was okay as well, to be fair. I'd give myself a 6.7 out of 10.
6.7 out of 10. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good. And after you've edited it, you might get yourself up to a 7. Which would be good. Hannah, this is the bit where we do some pop culture recommendations. What have you been watching, reading, enjoying recently?
Watching Criminal Record on Apple TV.
It's so fucking great.
But no, but it's why so are good. More people not talking about it? It is so good. And if this was on the BBC Sunday night 9 p.m. slot, we'd all be in a chokehold.
It would be like Line of Duty big, I think.
I agree.
It's absolutely amazing.
And I keep recommending it to people who aren't watching it, and I don't understand what more I have to say. So it's absolutely brilliant. And I really enjoyed last week's cliffhanger, and I'm really looking forward to what I think is the final episode coming out tomorrow. And like, if you have the subscription, I don't work for them. We're not sponsored. But I also really enjoyed Hijack, which was Idris Elba on a plane. Thing? Really fun.
Nice.
So that's my big recommendation for the week.
Awesome. I would second Criminal Record. I also, at the weekend, because it came to, I don't know what the term is. When it comes to TV, but you still have to pay for it. What's that?
What are you talking about?
All of them have it now. Like Amazon Prime has it.
Home I will premiere. Say,
Amazon Prime, it's become so difficult to navigate what is on Prime, there's like so many different levels on Prime now, where it's like there's some films that are on Prime, there's some films that are on channels that you can subscribe to through Prime, there's some films on Prime that are like £2, and there's films on Prime that are like £20, and they're all just sort of on there. You have to navigate it yourself. Anyway, Wonka's on there now. I watched Wonka. Wonka's fucking amazing. It's really, really brilliant. I really loved Wonka. It's so charming. I didn't know what to expect. Well, actually, I thought it went on a bit of a roller coaster, Wonka, didn't it? Because everyone thought it was going to be really crap. And then it came out and it got rave reviews. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it lives up to the hype.
Paul King, we trust.
Good man, and Timothy.
Timothy's really great. He's cast really well. And all Paul King's done really is, well, no, this isn't all he's done, but the way he's cast it is Timothy Chalamet in the lead, and then just the best British comedic actors available. Chuck them all in there. Some of them are only in it for like 20 seconds and they're all brilliant. Loved it so much.
Yeah, it's like a big hug.
It's like a big hug. And actually, I've got one bit of beef with Wonka, and I don't know if this is because of public health concerns, but 10, 15, 20 years ago, when Wonka came out, there would have been so much supplementary promotional products in the supermarkets to go with Wonka. The shelves would have been stocked with chocolate bars and everlasting gum. I'm pretty sure they did it with the 2005 Wonka remake, and I'm a bit sad about that. I also wonder, like, did they not expect it to be a runaway hit because of the people's pre-concerns? They didn't, I don't know. But I'm sad about that. I would have liked to have watched Wonka with my, you know, £7 bar of promotional chocolate.
I'll never understand why they don't just do the bar with golden tickets and then you win things. It would capture the world. You could do such a great TikTok campaign. Mm-hmm. It would be so exciting, and no one's ever done it. So I completely agree.
It's a shambles. I think we talked about this recently, John. I still think about the Sherbet Lemons that came out with one of the Harry Potter films. They could literally have, this Wonka film could have released a sweet so good I'm talking about it in 20 years time, but they failed to do so. John, what have you been watching? What have you been enjoying?
Talking about the Harry Potter Sherbet, that reminds me, the film tie-in food for the BFG, the recent Spielberg one, They made French fancies that were like just strawberry flavored, and they were the nicest French. They should have, and they were the nicest French fancies I've ever had. They reminded me of the sort of cupcake you'd have as a child. It was pure nostalgia. Mm-hmm. You can't get them anymore. The thing that I would like to recommend, I've got loads of podcasts that I've started recently, but I'm going to wait till next week when I've listened to more episodes, and I will recommend the ones that I'm confident are really, really good. But the main thing is a show from, I think it's now like 2 years ago in Australia, but it was last year on BBC iPlayer, Colin from Accounts. I don't know why I said like a question. It's amazing.
Because it's Australian.
It's an Australian rom-com TV series, 8 episodes, just really sort of perfect level of humour, like the sort of awkward humour that you can't help but laugh at, but also very sweet at the same time. I would recommend it to anyone if you can watch it in the UK. It's on iPlayer at the minute. Just I sort of like you guys were talking about Criminal Damages?
Record.
Yeah. Criminal Damages is a different show. Criminal Record, it feels like one of those things that it feels like it should have been in the conversations about like best shows of the last couple of years, and it just wasn't. And so I would recommend it if you would like a heartwarming comedy.
Amazing. Thank you very much. And thanks again, Hannah. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Hannah.
That was lots of fun.
Thanks, guys.
And we'll be back same time next week.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.